situations. Yeah. Well, we have them, we know about them.
Yeah.
They tend to reveal the quality of the faith and the sincerity of that, saying that we trust in God. Mm. You know, it tests us out with these situations. And it puts us under pressure. Somebody said it's good to be under a bit of pressure. There was Andrew, isn't it?
Mm.
And too much is not good, though. But it's good when there's somebody at the side of you said, don't worry, I'll do this one.
Yeah.
You know, you've sorted that tax, you've done that. Dad, I'll sort this out.
Mm.
And it's good that somebody will come alongside you.
Yeah.
And bolster you up.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say that we trust God, but we really find out when the pressure's on. Maybe you're under pressure right now, facing a situation that's screaming day and night, impossible. Well, we've all got them, haven't we, son?
Yeah.
Yeah, at times, yeah.
Yeah.
So whenever God has highly exalted, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above all every name. And that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and all things in heaven and all things in earth and all things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. We'll look that one up, that's in Philippians. And somebody's moved Philippians in mine. Yeah. So I looked at it earlier and it was there. A bit like when I lost my wallet and my phone on the way back, but never mind, that's another story. We found them. No, and I packed them in my case for some reason. Then Luke lost his phone as well. It's Philippians 2 and it's 9 to 11. The whole story is covered in 3 to 16. Philippians 2, 3 to 16. We were just going to look at verses 9 to 11. It says, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name.
Amen.
That in all, at the name of Jesus, every knee should, in brackets it says here, must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So that sort of takes care of everywhere. And every tongue, frankly and openly, confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. We've got the name which is above all names.
Yeah.
We've been given it.
Yeah.
The name that's above all names. So as we read this scripture, we immediately recognise the need to acknowledge and to confess the Lordship of Jesus over our lives. And Andrew was confessing just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
You know, that we'd speak things out, that our ears would be open.
Yeah.
Our hearts would be ready to accept what's coming.
Amen.
It's speaking it into being.
Yeah.
To confess his lordship over your life literally means to audibly declare that you believe in him and that you have completely surrendered your life to him. So it's telling him this. It's an audible thing. It's not one of these silent prayers. You've physically got to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it in front of everybody. You can do it in your quiet place, but it's an audible thing. To confess his lordship also means to boldly speak out so that there is no doubt as to where you stand. So it's just doing it, and God can say, but you did say, he'll remind you. Let's have a look in John 6. And we could read right from 3 to 13 on this one. I think. Yeah, it's so Jesus went up to a mountain where he sat with his disciples. But the bit we really want to look at is just verses 5 and 6. He says, When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, strange, isn't it? I'll pick this one. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So God and Jesus, they know what they're doing. They just want to find out if you're connected and that you're listening and that you're on the same wavelength. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company, he was testing Philip. Where shall we buy the bread? No shops out there. Bit more of a situation than we'd have. And he was saying this to prove him. And just as a footnote, some scholars had estimated, it says here that the Bible goes on to tell us that there were 5,000 men present in the crowd. Assuming that each man was married and had at least one child, that would bring the total to some 15,000 people. However, it says it's quite possible that each couple had as many as 5 children. So it was a huge miracle. It was not just a few mouths. In a park somewhere. It was a major feeding program. So obviously to the disciples, it looked impossible. They weren't prepared to feed a crowd that size. They didn't have the provisions for that many people, and they were in a deserted place. There was no place to buy for this crowd of people. So once again, this looked impossible. I would say even if they'd have been outside of town, it would still have been impossible to have gone and bought the amount of food they wanted. They may have had the money, but I would have thought to actually go and buy for some 50,000 people, you know. Fish and chips 50,000 times, please. Just put them in this low loader. I think it starts putting it into perspective, the size of this impossible situation. Verse 6, it says, it's proving. Notice the statement, he said to him to prove him. Jesus wanted to know where Philip and the other disciples stood. The word prove, from the literal Greek, literally means to reveal the quality. So to prove something, you're revealing the quality of it. In other words, the impossible situation was about to expose whether or not they truly had faith in Jesus' ability to perform the miracle or the miraculous. He was about to find out if they would make him lord over the impossible looking situation in their lives or if they were just caving under the pressure. He knew that the problem would reveal the true quality of their faith. So God said he'll never, I think Andrew mentioned this, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, he said he'll never push you beyond what he knows you can take. So when he's asking you to do something, like he was asking these to do this, he knew that they'd got the answer. Well, the answer was stood with them. But we have the answer as well. It's just a matter of saying, help. So as we continue to read this story, you'll find out, here we go, Brother Andrew's in there, find out that Andrew and Philip began to frantically look for ways to solve the problem. So there's me and you in this one, looking for bread now, and cakes. And in other words, they were trying to make something happen themselves in the natural. However, what Jesus wanted them to do was to declare his lordship over the problem. He wanted them to say, Jesus, nothing is impossible to you, so we expect you to do the impossible right now. I mean, that's a great phrase that we could use ourselves in every situation that we get to. And looking back on the situations just over the last week or so, we could have that could have been a fantastic short statement just to use to pull you back onto to where you needed to be.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. He revealed himself as Master and Lord of the impossible. He took, as we know, he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, supernaturally multiplied them and fed all the people. You see, man gets tied up on how could he multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We don't know. But he did. But they get hung up on, well, I wonder how he did it. And we need to look into this and see if it's possible to do it in some miraculous way. To give it extra yeast and make it... Who knows? But we just got, he did it. And not only that, but he also revealed himself as the Lord who is more than enough.
Yes.
They all ate until they were full. And of course we know there were 12 baskets left over.
Yeah.
We don't know how big the baskets were, but it doesn't really matter how big the baskets were. The 12 baskets held more than the 5 loaves and 2 fish to start with. So it's still... Something came off good. So we've got to start looking, as Andrew was just saying earlier, opening our minds, opening our mouths and our hearts and our minds. I see his Lord over impossible looking situations. And it's just confessing that. That Jesus, nothing is impossible to you, so expect you to do the impossible right now. So that's a good statement to remember. And that's what he wants us to do in our lives. It's just... It just doesn't get too hard for him.
Amen.
Gets too hard for us. Like when Luke said, Dad, don't worry, I'll sort this telephone call out. You know, I'll put the number in your phone for you and then we'll sort it out. He wouldn't put it in his phone because he'd got no credits on it. He'd also got no euros in his wallet either.
Really?
Oh. He worked that one really well.
He's got
self-pride. Yeah, he's got a good... It worked well. He'd send texts out on mine telling him to reply to his phone. It was confusing when one or two rang up my phone. They didn't get his voice, you see. Like, oh, sorry. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is far above all principality, power, etc., etc. And we're going to look at that in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Actually, if we read the whole bit, it would apply. It would go from verse 17, I think, right through to 23. This is that Jesus is our Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ starts there, but we're just going to look at, starting at verse 21. And this is our God, this is Jesus, who's far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So Jesus the head. Everything's under his feet.
Amen.
He's the name we need. We know he can sort things out because we've got that many examples in the Bible to tell us this.
Yeah.
This means that everything, anything and everything that Satan puts in front of us that looks impossible is subordinate to Jesus.
Amen.
So it might look impossible.
Yeah.
Getting a flat might look impossible. Did look impossible. Until it came into realising that if you come into agreement on it, that flat can be mine.
Yeah.
So, and then it's just believing the word and just waiting for the outcome. Therefore we can declare his lordship over it. Tell that situation in your life to bow its knee to the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah.
I like to say, this is a quote from Jerry Savile, this one. He said, I like to say that not every knee should bow, but every need should bow to the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And in Colossians 1, people keep pinching bits out of my Bible. Yeah. Paul goes on to tell us in Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. And in all things he might have that preeminence.
Yeah.
It's a good word. So if you read in the Amplified, it says, and he also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone is everything, and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Preeminence literally means the highest in rank. So there's nobody higher. If God says he's the name above all names, and everything's underneath his feet, he's the preeminent one, he's the highest rank. So you will never face a situation that is higher in rank than he is. He is Lord over every impossible looking situation. He has absolute supremacy. We've just got to believe this. Got to go past the thinking, the mind. We've just got to. It says it, so we believe it and we do it. So that's why we don't have to bow to the impossible looking situation.
Amen.
Because they must bow to the Lordship of Jesus. Our part is to declare his Lordship over them. So we can declare that Jesus, nothing's impossible to you. So we expect you to do the impossible in whatever situation right now. Amen. So what impossible situations have people faced today? I don't know. I know we've got a few. Not impossible, but there's situations that are bigger than we can handle. But we know now that nothing is impossible for Jesus. So just we need to declare. Our French is petite. What did I ask for the other day? A carton of water? No, a box of water. I meant to ask for a bottle of water, but I asked for a box of water. But they knew what I meant, didn't they? Well, then I said something else, which is really silly, isn't it? I said, I might repeat anyhow. So my French is not very good.
Just for battered peas.
Battered peas. So, just following on from what Andrew started earlier, we've got to begin to say. We've got to begin to speak out. We've got to begin to say incurable disease, to bow to the Lordship of Jesus.
Yeah.
Incurable, begin to say lack, financial lack, bow the knee to the Lordship of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is, just whatever your situation is, you can say now, just bow to the Lordship of Jesus. And that we know that Jesus, that nothing is impossible, so that we expect you to do the impossible right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do the impossible in Tony's life right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That when he comes round,
he's
different.
Yeah.
That when he comes round, we can see he's different.
Yeah. Amen.
We can see that he's had, while ever he's asleep, he's had an encounter.
Yeah. Amen.
That he's in the house of God. It might not be the position we all expect somebody to sit in church, but he's there. He's in. In the Spirit's listening.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
sort of reinforced everything, because in Psalm 124 verse 8 it said, our help is in the name of the Lord,
yeah,
who made heaven and earth. Never belittle the name. That's the name. Everything, every situation, every circumstance has to bow the knee,
yeah,
to the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I've not shared this with many people. There's only a few people that know about this. But 2 months ago, I had a phone call off my mother. My sister, who had been divorced for just over a year, had been picked up by the police one night in Clifton Park. She'd made herself homeless. And she was admitted into the psychiatric ward at the hospital. And I just didn't know what to do. I think the biggest problem was that I kept thinking, I'm just glad my father's not alive. Because if my father had been alive, it would have just, that would have killed him. And that his daughter had been picked up in a public place in the darkest night. But I just... knew this situation had got to bow. I couldn't do anything, and that's another thing, you feel so helpless. I thought, I can't do anything, I can't interfere in this, and I can't do anything, but I thought, it's got to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. I've got to stop worrying about this. I've got to let it. So I kept saying, this situation shall bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, she was in the hospital, and they sort of, there was a mix-up over tablets and things, and things didn't seem to be moving. And I just constantly said, this situation has to bow the knee.
Yeah.
And when we've got back, my mother has now said that my sister is now in a hostel. And basically, it didn't help that my mother helped my sister when she was going through the divorce. Because my sister had two things that she had to cope with. One was having to find a job. And the second was having to find a place to live. And although she did get half of the money when she got married, the fact is that she was paying for a place and the money was going fast. But she was in a catch-22 situation, because the council wouldn't give her a place because she'd got money. But the money's there, and it's sadly dwindling, and it's not enough money to put a deposit down for a home or for an apartment. And at the same time, she was trying to get a job, and she was trying to get through the turmoil of a divorce, and she just couldn't cope. And so basically that's what's happened. She made herself homeless because it just got too much for herself. But my mother has said that now that she has got a social worker, a carer alongside her, and they went down to the Rotherham. She's in a hostel at the moment. They went down to Rotherham to see about some housing, and they say in pat reply, you're not on the emergency list, you're not high up on the list. And they tried to send her to Sheffield, and the social worker turned around and said, no way, because if she goes into Sheffield, I have no jurisdiction. She's got to stay in Rotherham. So when they found out that she'd got a social worker, when they found out the situation, my sister is now, like John, one of the top priority. They have got 7 to 14 days in which now to find her accommodation.
Amen.
But that could have gone on for months. I'm just still standing. This situation is bowing the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. But I've shared it because I want you to, all of you, to take heart. For all of you, whatever you're going through, like with Helen and her mum and her stepdad and whatever else, you know, this situation has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. This relative of Graham's, this rep who's got the cancer, it has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. So be encouraged.
Amen.
And if you could keep my sister up, please, in prayer, and things will happen very soon.
Yeah.